How does it feel to be back on planet Earth?
Oh my God. Glad to be back on Canadian soil, that is for sure. Amazing trip, but glad to be home.
Where exactly is Mount Kilimanjaro?
Go ahead.
Mount Kilimanjaro is, I guess, the northeast in Tanzania, Africa.
Okay.
Just on the border of Kenya.
And why did you guys decide you wanted to climb it?
Well, I tell you something. This was one of Lori's ideas. One of it was on her bucket list to do. It was not on mine, but certainly glad that I went with her on this trip, because it was something else to be able to complete this.
So friends of ours had approached them saying, you know, we're thinking of climbing Kilimanjaro, would you be interested? And right away, my girlfriend approached me and said, would you be interested? And right away, I said, of course, without checking with my husband. But the six of us planned for a year and a half, and we got it together, and the six of us summited it. So amazing, amazing.
So in the year and a half of research, did it become a more trepidous task in your mind?
It's funny, because I had a feeling that it was going to be really demanding. And so, you know, from a physical standpoint, you know, preparation, I didn't do too much. It was more kind of a preparation for me from getting my head around it and my mind around it and getting mentally tough. I researched, you know, how many people summited or attempted the summit and climbed Kilimanjaro a year, and what the success rates were and so forth, and watched lots of different video blogs on it. Again, just to kind of get my head around, okay, what are we going into here? And so the more that I researched, the more I was thinking, oh my good God, what are we in for?
And I was the opposite. I did very little research and physically got myself as best prepared as possible in that year and a half. So different ways of approaching it. And I was surprised by how difficult it was once we got there. And I think that was probably the toughest thing for me, were those first few days to get my head wrapped around that this is tough.
So describe for me the logistics of getting from base camp to the top.
Okay, you go ahead.
Yeah, so there's different options. I'll back up a little bit. There's different options on how you can summit and approach summiting Kilimanjaro. And from the research that, these other couples had done, that I had done, the more time that you could spend on the mountain, the better your chances of being able to get to the top. Initial stats that we read said about 50% only are successful in summiting. And most of that is because of physical preparedness and also giving up, I guess, mental toughness. So we took the route where we would have 7 days to complete it. And that would mean 5.5 days to get to from the gate. We did the Mashame route. So from the Mashame gate to the base camp, and then we'd summit that night and have a day and a half to come back down from the top.
So it's easier coming down than going up.
Yes, much so. And you spend, it takes longer to get to the top because, again, they suggest and their research and history shows that the more time you spend on the mountain, the better your chances. And the reason for that is really has to do with the altitude. And so as you're doing this walk, and it's not a technical walk, it's just there's not mountain climbing and mountaineering that's involved. It's a walk, except for a couple of days where you're doing some climbing. It's just spending time at altitude and going to higher altitudes and then back down to lower ones for camp and so forth.
So just a day in our life on the mountain. So they would wake you up about 5:30 in the morning, with, you know, hot water or tea. They'd come to your, we were in a two-man tent with basically two big hockey bags in it full of our gear. So they would bring you the hot tea. You would have a half an hour to get yourself woken up, and then you were off, pack up your bag or whatever you use that night. You'd head off to the eating tent where they would have a beautiful meal prepared for you. And then, you know, we'd do our medical checks, and then we were on the mountain by 7 o'clock in the morning and not back, you know, ready to eat again at 6 o'clock at night. So they were long, long days.
And is there lots of snow, or that's not the season for it, or what?
Yeah, this particular time of year that we decided to go was the dry season. And while we're coming out of their winter, there was very little snow. And the only snow that really existed was up on the very top on the crater rim. And even then, that snow was just in the form of glaciers. So yeah, the time of year that we chose to go there, we didn't have to trek through any level of snow at all.
And we also lucked out because we had no rain at all. So, you know, that would have put a very different spin on the trek for sure.
What's the altitude?
The total height of Kilimanjaro is a little under 19,400 feet or just under 6,000 meters tall.
Wow.
Our gate where we started was at the 1800 meters. So we trekked just over 4,000 or 4 kilometers vertical in our height.
So the oxygen must be a lot thinner.
Yeah, they say about 50% thinner. And that was really, really, that was the biggest challenge was the oxygen and being able to breathe. Rick, we walked at a pace, you know, that was much slower than I had even anticipated, you know, even after watching videos. You know, we were out walking in our regular days, we're prepping for this, and, you know, you can walk 5 kilometers pretty comfortably in an hour. We were walking, you know, for instance, on the first day, we walked 11 kilometers and went up a height of 1,200 meters, and that took us a little over 6 hours to do.
Well, yeah, the highest I've ever been is the Selmo Creston Pass, and that doesn't compare at all.
Yeah,
but this tour company that we were with were just top notch, Alteza, and you know they were there for us. For we had eight main guides, and we had 56 porters that looked after. So there were six of us, six local people that went. And then we joined up with six other people from Scotland, the UK, the US. And so those 56 people looked after us for a week, and the service was just impeccable.
Now, when you got to the top, everybody's seen the pictures of the men's shed flag. Tell me how that came about, and everybody's cheering for it, so let's hear it.
The men's shed, it's become very personal. You know, they're just a great bunch of people, and you know, it's a great community to get behind. So they asked me when they had heard that Wayne and I were doing this, they asked if they got a flag made, would I take it up to the top of Kilimanjaro? And I said, absolutely, no problem at all. The big thing was, you can tell them, Rick.
Yeah, so I was a little surprised at this because I didn't know anything about it until Lori had, we started to pack the bags that were bringing the men's shed flag up there. I thought, okay, this is fantastic. What a great way to support this organization. But we hadn't learned that they had posted before we even summited that we were taking this flag to the top. So it was funny because we laughed a little bit about it, saying there's a little more pressure to be successful here. Because, you know, in the back of our heads, you know, especially as we started the trek, you know, we're thinking, geez, you know, I'm not sure we can do this. This is difficult. And you play mind games with yourself, you know, how can I get out of this? What can I do? And then it was, oh, well, we got to do this. And the self-talk, you have to kind of quiet that down. And then a little bit of pressure to be successful, to be able to fly that banner for the men's shed and give them a little bit of PR to help the cause and such was incredible and actually more motivation for us to be successful.
Lots of cheering up at the top too, because it was neat. I mean, you know, there's people from all over the world there, of course, but people were so excited for the men's shed too. And you know, and a lot of them had known about men's sheds, even, you know, the fellas from the US and then of course our friends locally. And so that was really neat too, that, you know, we had all that support up top for the men's shed too.
Yeah. And to give you an idea, Rick, so we had our 12 and then there was guides helping us, but there were many other groups also summiting that night. And you line up, you each have your turn and your picture at the top at the Uhuru Peak. And it was interesting. So there's actually hundreds of people there. And as we got there, we had our own pictures. And then we break out the flag, and there were cheering. So it was something else to see that there was some recognition for men's sheds on that global scale.
Well, I guess if you ever do it again, somebody will have written the men's shed anthem, and you can sing it.
Oh yeah. My goodness. But some of our things that I was thinking about before I talked to you, Wayne kept saying, and our group of friends too, and the 12 of us, was to embrace the suck, because you know, that's what it was all about. And another thing that when we were up there, you know, you'd have a tough day, and by the second day we're above the clouds, and you look out, and you know you're thinking. I said, I feel like I'm in hell, but I also feel like I'm in heaven. It was just amazing, amazing for sure.
And you couldn't leave the flag behind.
No, I have it. I haven't made it over, but I will next week. I'll make it over to my group of friends and present them with the flag back again. So yeah, full circle.
Okay. And for our ecological listeners, do you have to pack out everything you pack in?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so you go to each day. So for us, it was 7 days. You had individual camps, but as you're marching along and walking and hiking during the day, of course, there becomes a need even to use the washroom. And so any type of waste that you have, you know, paper waste, you're responsible for packing up and bringing it to the next camp. And they have garbage bags there and will, you know, receive that and then are responsible to help take that off the mountain. So it is a UNESCO site, and it's maintained by the government, and it's done really well. The site is very clean. There are areas, of course, where some people don't respect that, but by and large, people respect what you have to do in taking everything that you take onto the mountain back off.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the Tanzanian people too are beautiful, beautiful people. They, you know, they couldn't have done more for us right from the time we landed in their country and from the time that we left. It was just, I don't even know how to explain it, but I'd go back, you know, just for the people.
Wow. Yeah, so that's great. I guess anything I didn't ask you that you wanted to tell me?
I guess, you know, when you said, you know, if we'd go and do it again, you know, we'd know more. And it's funny, when we finished the hike, I said, okay, that's it. I'm not a much of a hiking person. I did this to, you know, to be with Lori and do it together. But we, you know, during the hike, all the porters that helped us, and as Lori alluded to and mentioned, there were 56 plus people supporting just the 12 of us. And to see what little these people had, the gear that they had was, you know, was old. The shoes that some of them wore were too big for them. You know, the pants, and we had equipment, you know, fleece lined pants for summit night when it got cold. And these guys, some of them didn't even have gloves. So before we left, we took everything that we had gotten for this trip and packed it in a duffel and left it behind for them.
Wow.
our shoes, our backpacks, everything. So just to support them in the future and to give them, you know, an opportunity that you know, for us, you know, to replace a pair of hiking boots is one thing. For them to even source them is something totally different. And so it was just, we thought it was a nice gesture just to leave that gear behind for them.
And the last thing, sorry, Rick, is just a shout out to Mike and Karen Grace, who came with us, and Rob Hickson and Grace Meehan also came with us, and our six new friends that became part of our family on the mountain.
Wow, I guess you're really happy you made the trip.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys very much for sharing the story with us.
Great. You're thank very you very welcome. Much, Rick, yeah. for reaching out to us, too.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too.
You as well. Okay.
Bye.
Bye now.